Hey, 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 what's happening? Thanks for joining us this evening on the South Central Indiana News Network. You're listening to What's Happening, where we highlight local news and events for Bloomington and the surrounding region. Skip Daly here. I'm normally joined by Julie Beasley, but she is out on assignment this week. And this week, oh my goodness, it's been one of recovery for a community that was hit very hard by high winds and between 4 and 7 inches of rainfall throughout the county. Flooding was severe and a life was lost. A 31-year-old who got caught in the current while trying to escape his vehicle near South Walnut Street in Bloomington. We send our heartfelt thoughts to the family and loved ones of Colton Bowe, as well as to all of those negatively impacted by the intense weather we experienced this past week. Today is the 25th of June. We're going to take a look back at this week in history. On June 21st, in 1982, John Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity for the attempted assassination of U.S. President Ronald Reagan. I recently read that he was actually just released, I believe a matter of weeks or a couple of months ago. And on June 22, 1870, the United States Department of Justice was created by the United States Congress. On June 23, in 1868, Christopher Latham Sholes received a patent for an invention he called the typewriter. And on June 24th, in 1947, Kenneth Arnold made the first widely reported UFO sighting, and that was in the state of Washington. And on June 25th, 1950, the Korean War begins with the invasion of South Korea by North Korea. And our celebrity birthday today, turning 76 years of age, singer-songwriter Carly Simon. Of course, she was most famous for that mystery song, You're So Vain. Today on the show, we welcome Executive Director of the Monroe County United Way, Efrod Pfefferman, and our community update brought to us by the Porthole Inn at Lake Lemon. And we also feature the music this month of Ron Kadish. But first, your local news headlines are brought to us by American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, providing innovative and smart money options for life and health insurance and investments. American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, online at asbofindiana.com. Now here's what's happening. Residents impacted by the severe storms between June 18th and 21st are asked to contact Indiana 211 to report storm damage and help with a statewide damage assessment. The storm produced several tornado warnings and resulted in severe flooding in some areas. The storms damaged or destroyed multiple buildings, caused evacuations, and resulted in temporary shelters erected in counties with considerable damage. At least one death in Monroe County has been attributed to the swift-moving storm. In addition to local public safety crews, Indiana Department of Homeland Security personnel has also been deployed to specific counties with damage, including Franklin, Steuben, Jefferson, and Monroe counties. City Sanitation Department in Bloomington announced plan for pickup of materials related to residential flooding. Residents receiving sanitation services from the City of Bloomington can now schedule pickup of items related to flooding lost from last weekend's weather event. Residents who have experienced flooding and have items needing disposal should schedule a pickup by calling the Sanitation Division at 812-349-3443. Downtown Bloomington's fire and police headquarters were both damaged during the storms last week. The fire station will be closed for an unknown period of time. Personnel and apparatus reassigned to the other four city fire stations. It was announced that the fire station department administration will temporarily move to the former Bunger Roberts Law Office, which was acquired by the City of Bloomington back in 2019. The police department suffered significant damage on electrical and computer equipment that was located in the affected areas of that building. The estimated time to repair the damage is still unknown. Normal operations are, for the most part, able to continue at the facility. All equipment and furnishings impacted by the floodwaters are either being thoroughly cleaned and disinfected or disposed of, depending on the level of contamination. Indiana University refuses to back down from the vaccination mandates, even after several Indiana University students have filed suit against the school for violation of their 14th Constitutional Amendment, as well as a violation of the Indiana state law banning proof of COVID vaccinations. Even though IU recently changed course under the pressure from a letter drafted by Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita stating that the original policy from the state's public university violated recently passed legislation, the university is still accused of denying students the right to protect their personal autonomy and bodily integrity. Indiana University stands in confidence that their revised policy is legal and that they have the right to require students, faculty, and staff to obtain the COVID vaccine, even though they have yet to become fully approved by the FDA. The Ivy Tech State Board of Trustees recently approved the new tuition model for the community college. The new approach, Ivy Plus, is focused on making college more affordable, ensuring that students have equitable access, transparency of cost, on-time completion, and a seamless experience. Ivy Tech becomes one of the first schools in Indiana and the first community college in the country to adopt this new tuition model. Ivy Plus transforms the tuition structure by including the cost of textbooks as a regularly assessed fee. Ivy Plus will also charge the same tuition rate for full-time students enrolled in 12 or more credits if a student takes 12 credits, 15, or even 24 in a given term. The cost of tuition will be the same for that student. And those are your local headlines. We'll be back with more of what's happening after this quick break.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan from newborn to 89 years old. From term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479, or online at bbmoving812.com.
If I give you a legacy, would you see it's a rose? If I give you a part of me to hold, unfold. If I give to you what you need, if I give to you, would you need?
Welcome back. You're listening to what's happening on the South Central Indiana News Network. Skip Daly here. And that was the music of Ron Kadish. Our community update is brought to us by the world-famous family-friendly Porthole Inn, the gem of Lake Lemon. The Porthole features amazing food, and their outdoor live music schedule is underway. Check them out on Facebook for more details. And the Porthole Inn is also seeking pizza makers and kitchen help. Contact the Porthole for more information. Residents impacted by the severe storms June 18th to the 21st are asked to contact Indiana 211 to report storm damage and help with a statewide damage assessment. Indiana 211 will be collecting damage reports from Hoosiers. Residents with damage can call 211 or visit the Indiana 211 website. Indiana 211 also will be working with the Family and Social Services Administration to help connect Hoosiers with additional services, including temporary housing, food, and other essentials. The local American Red Cross is also assisting. And today we are joined by Efrat Pfefferman of the United Way right here in Monroe County. Now, I've known you for a while, and how badly did I butcher your name this time?
that wasn't too bad at all. I think you actually got it, Efrat. Thanks for checking.
All right. Now, you are the leader of the Monroe County United Way. Is that the official title? Is that the official name of the organization?
Yeah, United Way of Monroe County. We actually serve Monroe, Owen, Green, and half of Brown as well.
The United Way is an umbrella organization of sorts. Go ahead and give us the 20 or less on exactly what it is that the United Way does and talk about how it interacts with its member organizations.
Sure. United Way's mission is to address critical needs in our community today and reduce those needs tomorrow. And so with that mission, we take on the role of convening the community around solutions to issues. And that involves mobilizing not just resources like dollars, but also volunteer power, advocacy power, because to really tackle something effectively, you have to not just, you know, put money towards it, but have collaborations and conversations about the systems in place and all of that stuff. So it's a broad mission, and the needs of the community do change. You know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we might not have been talking about things we're talking about today, like homelessness or mental health or substance use disorder. And 10 years from now, we hope we're not talking about those things because maybe we've solved them to some extent.
So how does your role interact with the organization? Do you take on a leadership role in terms of networking with the organizations, or are you strictly administrative, or are you really hands-on?
Yeah, I think we try to be hands-on, and all of our partners, you know, of course, are on the ground serving our communities. Most pressing needs and more vulnerable citizens. But we have a lot of different ways in which we partner with organizations and with the community. And what most folks think about when they think about United Way is the member agencies. And that's what our annual fundraising campaign supports. We do have 24 member agencies that work together to address a variety of needs of individuals and households in our community. And they're very collaborative. And we offer support. We offer dollars, of course, but we also try to offer other things like professional development opportunities and coordination around bigger issues. And so we have that, but we also have other initiatives like our Financial Stability Alliance and the programs within that, like the Free Community Tax Service, financial coaching, Bank on Bloomington that helps connect people with no banking history or poor banking history to, you know, starter accounts. So we try to fill in gaps and we try to take on, you know, collaborations where it makes sense. Of course, in the last year and a half, we've been involved in COVID relief, just as we've been involved in disaster relief in the past when there have been floods or tornadoes. United Way tries to channel resources and get them to where they're needed. And that's what we've been doing with COVID because there were a lot of needs and the work's not over yet there either.
Talk to us about some of those COVID relief programs that you have going on currently. And is the relief open to organizations? Is the relief open to businesses? Is it to individuals? And how do folks find out about this stuff?
Sure thing. Yeah, we have already in the past 15, 16 months raised and then distributed $1.6 million to date. And that has been through nonprofit organizations that directly serve individuals and their needs. And in COVID, you know, the focus was certainly on some of the basic essential needs at first. Let's make sure our food security system is stocked up for the region. Let's make sure our area shelters are equipped for COVID and that we have an isolation shelter for the community. If someone who's homeless needs to self-isolate or quarantine, let's look at basic health and safety issues. And so we opened up rounds of funding for agencies to apply, had a pretty quick and easy review process because it was all about getting dollars out. And then those agencies have done some amazing things with those dollars. Early on, a lot of them had to adapt to remote work. So a place like Catholic Charities Bloomington that provides mental health services to folks on a sliding scale wasn't equipped to go to remote services, but the need certainly was there. And so with, you know, some funding from us early on in the pandemic, they were able to buy those laptops and to assure that their clients also had access to technology to keep up, you know, their care from home. So that's just one example of some of the things that we did with those dollars early on, adapting after school services, like at the Boys and Girls Clubs, where they couldn't really have all the volunteers in place early on in the pandemic, but essential workers still needed some childcare. and dollars from the United Way COVID Relief Fund helped them be able to still provide some level of care in a safe way and in small pods to children early in the pandemic. So we actually were pleased to just learn that we received a grant from the Indiana United Ways and through the generosity of the Lilly Endowment for $615,000 additional dollars for COVID relief. And we are announcing to the community that come August 2nd, the application will be open for nonprofits to apply for funding there. And it's really for basic needs as defined by the CDC's social determinants of health. So a lot of things can fit under that. Everything from shelter to food to healthcare to employment supports to childcare to supporting people with disabilities, transportation, and much, much more. So be on the lookout for that. The application opens August 2nd. We'll have it open for a couple weeks, and then we'll get those dollars out to where they can make the most impact in our community.
Now, just to be clear, those dollars, that $600,000 that you're talking about, that is on its way, that is direct agency support, or are those pass-through dollars that can find their ways directly into the hands of residents in our community?
I'd say both. Some agencies have in the past rounds and may in this round apply for direct financial assistance to their clients, like help with the rent or mortgage or utilities or food vouchers or things like that. Other agencies may need help just with their operating capacity if they're still without their volunteer base. Or, you know, a lot of our nonprofit staff who've been on the front lines have really gotten burned out the last year plus, and we're seeing a lot of turnover in some of our direct service providers. So we may need to invest in some capacity to get us through the remainder of this pandemic.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'm going to ask you about assistance for those that have experienced storm damage. And I'm also going to ask you about the press conference that you held a couple of weeks ago with our city officials. You're listening to What's Happening right here on the South Central Indiana News Network.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
I'm injury attorney Matt Lloyd. With an injury claim, don't leave cash on the table by not realizing all the Indiana laws that can help you. The insurance company won't tell you about them, but call me for a free consultation to learn all the important steps to get the best settlement. Call or text 812-333-MATT or go online to myinjurycase.com. Let's join forces and fight for a settlement that makes sense for you. 812-333-MATT.
You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network, and that was the music of Ron Kadish. I'm joined by Efrat Pfefferman of the United Way right here in Monroe County. Now, Efrat, when we left off, I mentioned that we would talk a little bit about storm damage. Now, several years back when there were floods back in 08, 09, United Way was large assistance in funneling some dollars to individuals that were not covered by insurance for different reasons. Is there anything like that going on right now?
You know, Skip, it's a little too soon to tell as we're assessing the extent of the damage in the community. We'll have to see if we are eligible for some of those FEMA funds or if there is enough need that goes uncovered by things like insurance and SBA loans that we may need to step in and involve the philanthropic community locally. So for now, it's really important that anyone who has suffered damage report it. Our county's emergency management folks are the ones who sort of coordinate that assessment process. And they actually hooked up with Indiana 211 to make it real easy for folks. You can call 211, tell them you want to do one of those reports on storm damage in Monroe County, or you can go to their website, Indiana 211, and fill out a quick form there. Someone will come to your house to take a look. And then as they sort of gather all that stuff, then we can tell as a community just how bad it really is and what we need to do. In the meanwhile, if anyone is struggling or displaced, there are some options for help. I would direct you to your township trustee if you are displaced from your home at the moment because of the flooding. They can help with things like hotel vouchers and food from the food pantry. And of course, we have food pantries throughout the community for all kinds of needs, whether you're struggling with storm damage right now and just can't get into the kitchen or ongoing need for other reasons. So check out the places like Mother Hubbard's Cupboard and Pantry 279, and the Hoosier Hills Food Bank is going to resume those Fresh Friday box distributions of food. There'll be information on that on our Facebook and website and on theirs, of course. But that was a really helpful thing last summer, and they really had that down to an art in terms of loading a car up with a big box of food and processing folks sort of through the line efficiently. So that's starting up back soon again. And we're grateful for the folks at the food bank for that.
Now, food insufficiency is a segue into my next line of question. You stood with the mayor and some other city officials a couple of weeks ago and delivered a press conference about the topic of homelessness. Now I'm sure it was a lot more specific. Why don't you go ahead and talk about some of those details and the programs with which you were making your announcements?
Absolutely. Thank you for that. So United Way and the Community Foundation of Monroe County partnered in recent months to convene our community and stakeholders around the issue of homelessness and housing insecurity. Certainly, this is something that has been on folks' minds lately. And, you know, we saw some more acute issues over the winter with, you know, tents in the park and things like that. The role we've been asked to play is about coming together around a long-term plan to reduce homelessness and housing insecurity. So not so much the immediate needs where agencies and shelters and, you know, the city and county are working, but around a plan that we can then make sure that we're investing resources in to actually implement, that has data and metrics around it and all those pieces that a comprehensive plan needs so that we can make sure that we're making progress. So we've been working for a few months in that space. We started primarily with providers of services and funders, but then, you know, kept expanding, and we're pretty close to having a plan for the community that we'll release, and then an implementation plan as well, so that there's infrastructure for the long term to oversee the objectives in that plan of making homelessness rare, brief, and non-repeating. Those are the three things in that plan.
Reimagine Awards. Now, you announced some winners of that from last year recently. Talk to us about what that award is and what's up for 2021 with that.
Sure. Yeah, our fall fundraising campaign was titled Reimagine because we had spent, you know, a good portion of a year plus on responding to COVID, responding to immediate needs. And we felt like it was time to really take stock of all the amazing things that our nonprofits, that are really every sector of the community came together to do during COVID, without overthinking, but often just acting and acting collaboratively. And can we not reimagine our community with some of those things in place for the long term. Some of the changes that we've made to systems like food security and housing security, or, you know, the example I gave about mental health care from the privacy of your own home, where you don't have to worry about transportation and childcare, which are huge barriers to a lot of things. So Reimagine really came from that concept of, look at all that we've done as a community, and let's reimagine the future where that's the norm, that we're working this well together and that we're accomplishing so much and changing things for the better. So the awards that we recently announced, you know, usually in April or May, United Way does its annual awards program. We invite people together in person. We didn't do that this year, but we still wanted to recognize folks who were really heroes of the fundraising campaign, who went above and beyond to help rally support, to be a partner to us in different ways. And so there were several categories for both businesses, large and small, and individuals, as well as a staff award that we always give. And that's what the Reimagine Awards were about. They're on our Facebook and Instagram, as well as our website, if folks want to see the list of awardees and then congratulate them for that.
All right, go ahead and take a couple of minutes and talk about your 2021 campaign and how folks can help support you financially.
We appreciate that. Thank you. Yes, the next campaign season will launch in the fall. And there's a lot of ways to give and contribute, whether you wait for that and go through your employer's payroll deduction offering, or, you know, you just get on our website with a credit card or mail us a check or any of that. You know, United Way, the beauty of the model is that it's not about huge gifts from people. It's about all of us throwing in what we can. And so we see a lot of $5 or a dollar a paycheck. But when you multiply that by thousands, that's a lot of money. And that's how we've been raising $1.2 million the last couple of years, by those, you know, small, medium-sized donations. And then, of course, we have our Vanguard leaders who really motivate the community with their larger investments.
All right, go ahead and send off our audience with a way to connect with you. What's that URL? Talk about your social media presence or however you want to direct folks.
Well, we have an e-newsletter that comes out once a month. And if you get on MonroeUnitedWay.org, you'll see a sign-up button for it on the right. You get a lot of news in that monthly email. You also get a lot of our updates and ways to get engaged on social media. And we're on Facebook and Instagram, United Way of Monroe County. So like us there, follow us there, get the e-newsletter, check out what's going on. There's monthly programs. Our Wake Up with United Way series is a great way to just tune in and learn something. But there's other opportunities to be more hands-on as well.
Well, all right, Efrat, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
One more time, what's that URL?
MonroeUnitedWay.org.
MonroeUnitedWay.org. I'd also like to thank our friends at the Porthole Inn for sponsoring our community update, as well as Ron Kadish for providing our music for the month of June. On behalf of Julie Beasley and the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Skip Daly. Join us Fridays for more of What's Happening.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.